Appreciate the good prayer that David led us in a few moments ago. Appreciate Alvin leading singing for us this morning. It's been a while since Alvin's been in front of us leading singing, but he did a very fine job of doing that this morning as he led us in song as we raised our voice up in praise to our Almighty God. And certainly appreciate the good reading Mike gave to us there from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I'd like to encourage everyone to take out a Bible or to keep your Bibles open there to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 because we're going to be spending all of our time there this morning. And here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we learn about the Apostle Paul's gratitude for the church of the Thessalonians. And we see here where the Apostle Paul, he was not only thankful for the church of the Thessalonians, but he also commended them for the good work that they were doing and for the good example in which they set. Therefore, the church of the Thessalonians, as we find recorded in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, can certainly be considered as an exemplary church. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to spend our time this morning in study there of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, taking a look at an exemplary church, this church of the Thessalonians. And it's important to note that the word exemplary can mean serving as a desirable model. And it denotes representing the best of its kind. So with these thoughts pressed upon our minds, let's take a few moments this morning to examine an exemplary church that is found recorded for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I begin this morning by suggesting to you that the church of the Thessalonians was an exemplary church in that their work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in the Lord was remembered without ceasing. Again, going back there to the scripture reading that Mike gave to us a few moments ago from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3. We see here where the apostle, as he began this letter with a sincere greeting, he also begins by expressing his gratitude. He gives an expression of thanksgiving for the church here of the Thessalonians. And he says there in verse number 2, we give thanks to God always. Notice that. Paul always, as we talked about in our Bible class this morning, he did so without ceasing. He continually gave thanks to God for this church. He says, I give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. Now watch verse 3. He says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. You see, simply put, when Paul thought about these Christians, in Thessalonica, his heart filled with gratitude. He was very thankful for them. It's important to note, just to give a little background on the church in Thessalonica, that Paul would have had somewhat of a relationship with these brethren. He definitely would have had some skin in the game, so to speak, because he was one there who started the church in Thessalonica. We learn about that there in Acts chapter 17. Write that down if you want to read more about that later on your own. But there in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 and 10, we see there where Paul started the church in Thessalonica. And shortly after he started the church, what happened to him? Shortly after that, he was ran out, wasn't he? He was ran out shortly after, as we see there in Acts 17. But yet, although Paul wasn't able to be there long with them, although he didn't spend much time with them, we see where yet the church remained full of life. And there were some positive things about the church there that Paul simply couldn't forget, as we see here in verse number 3. Therefore, he always remembered them. And he remembered about them. And what he remembered about them made him thankful, didn't it? It filled his heart with gratitude. You see, Paul was thankful to God for the church of the Thessalonians. Simply because, as we're going to see as we go throughout this lesson, because of their undeniable change. They made a change in their life. And we're going to see that as we go through this study this morning. But Paul, he was thankful to God for them because of this undeniable change that they made. And much good was being done there. Paul's going to point that out too, as we're going to see as we go through this study. There was a lot of good things going on in the church there. And it was because of that, Paul talks about three of those great Christian virtues that was evident among the church there. Did you notice what those three great Christian virtues that was evident that Paul mentions there in verse number 3? That would be work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. Faith, love, hope. And I want us to notice about those three vital Christian virtues. Faith, love, hope. When you think about that, and you think about what Paul's emphasizing here, he's not emphasizing just these virtues alone, but rather he's emphasizing what they produced. Notice that with me. We see here in verse number 3 that their faith produced what? It produced work. As a result of true faith, it produced work, effort upon their part. Notice as we go on to see there too, love. What did love produce? Their love produced labor, implying toil that is strenuous and sweat producing. But we also see where it produced hope. And this hope that is being talked about here, this hope that produced patience, this is persevering endurance. This is persevering endurance, not only needed to survive hard times, but also needed to triumph through them. Those things were evident here among the church of the Thessalonians. And it's because of that Paul was grateful. And because of that this church of the Thessalonians would certainly be considered an exemplary church. You see, we go on to see there in verse 4 where Paul also adds, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. You see, you think about this. You think about this work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope that was evident to Paul from the church here of the Thessalonians. When you think about that, do you wonder what it was that caused that? What caused that? Well, Paul tells us there in verse 4, your election by God. You see, how were they called? By the gospel. Paul's going to talk about that in his second epistle to them there in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 13 and 14. That's how Christians are called. That's how all people of God are called. They're called by the gospel. And when you think about it, we recognize that is what caused them to have that work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in the Lord. Because they heard and they received the gospel. And when you think about the gospel, as we talked about even again this morning in our Bible class, the gospel is powerful. The Word of God is powerful, isn't it? Gospel of Christ, it's powerful. And it has the power to change hearts and to change lives. That's exactly what happened here in the church of the Thessalonians. They heard the gospel. They received it. And as a result of the powerful gospel of Christ, lives was changed. But not only is the church of the Thessalonians considered an exemplary church because of their work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in the Lord, but also because of the fact that they became followers and imitators of the Lord and His people. Again, the Thessalonians, they responded to the gospel by becoming faithful followers of it. We see this there at verses 5 and 6. Notice with me. Paul goes on to write, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power of the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became what? Followers or imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Again, we see here where the Thessalonians, they heard the gospel. They received it. and they responded to it. And as a result, they became followers or imitators of the Lord and His people. I mean, think about that for a moment. You see, these Thessalonians, before they were converted, they were following things, and things that were not pleasing in the sight of God. But again, they stopped following these other things and they began to follow after the Lord and His faithful people. I think it's important to notice there in verse 6 when Paul says, "And you became followers of us and the Lord." Notice how that happened. You see, the Apostle Paul and his fellow co-laborers in the Lord, they set a good example for these Thessalonians to follow, didn't they? And as they were setting this proper example for the church of the Thessalonians to follow, as they were not only setting the example but also proclaiming the gospel to them, the Thessalonians, they could see the type of life that Paul and his co-laborers were living, weren't they? They could see the life that they were living. And you think that had an impact on them? I believe it certainly did. Does it have an impact on you when you see a godly Christian living a life that's in accordance to the Lord? Does it make an impact on you when you see Christians and followers of Christ living a life, patterning their life as the Lord's? It certainly does, doesn't it? I know it does me. And I can venture to say that it certainly did with the people that was there in the church in Thessalonica. They saw it. They saw how Paul and his co-workers were living. And I venture to say they probably thought, "I want to be like that." And it's because of that that they became followers. Not only of Paul and his co-laborers, who, by the way, were imitating Christ, but also of the Lord. You see, when I think about this, I can't help but to think about the fact that they learned from Paul and his co-laborers' example. Paul and his co-laborers set the proper example to be followed. And the people there in Thessalonica, they learned from that example. And just as they saw that life that they were living in the Lord, just as they saw that in them, they themselves became imitators of the Lord. Reading that, I couldn't help but to think about what Paul recorded there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Remember what Paul said to the church in Corinth? Paul said, "Imitate me as I also imitate Christ." You see, Paul was one who practiced what he preached, wasn't he? Paul was certainly imitating Christ Jesus. And it was because of that, Paul reminds this church in Thessalonica of the fact that as you saw me imitate the Lord, you also became followers of us and the Lord. And it is because of that, because the church of the Thessalonians became followers, true followers, true imitators, not impersonators, but rather true, sincere, genuine followers and imitators of the Lord and His people, that they would certainly be considered an exemplary church. But I also suggest to us this morning that the church of the Thessalonians was an exemplary church in that they received the Word of God in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, and they became examples to the believers. Notice that with me again there in verse number 6. Paul again tells them that they received the Word. How? In much affliction. What's that tell us? It tells us that they didn't receive it necessarily at great times. There was a lot of affliction going on at that time. But they did so with joy of the Holy Spirit. And they went on to become examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe, as we see in verse 7. You see, when you think about this, the Thessalonian Christians distinguished themselves because they received the Word of God, even in much affliction. Simply put, the message they heard came with adversity. Again, I encourage you to go back to Acts chapter 17 and read verses 1 through 10. It'll give you a better understanding of what Paul's talking about here when he talks about the fact that they received it with much affliction. But the point is, they received the word of God that was being preached to them even when they heard it with adversity. But yet they received it. And because of that, Paul thanked God. He thanked God when they faced the affliction from receiving the word, that they didn't just face it with a pretend feeling, but rather they faced it with joy, a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. Think about that. It's powerful, isn't it? It's powerful. And when we think about the need to receive the Word of God, we think about these Thessalonians. We think about those noble Bereans of old that we learn about also in Acts 17. After Paul was ran out of Thessalonica, where did they go? To Berea. And what was the mentality of those noble Bereans? They were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness. If you haven't yet picked up a Belleville Messenger this morning, I encourage you to do so and to take some time to read the article in there that's titled Receiving the Word. James Hahn wrote that article a few years ago, and it's a very good article in regard to the need to be a people who understand the need to really receive the word. And here Paul is talking about the fact where the church of the Thessalonians, they received it. They heard it and they accepted it even in trying times. And it wasn't fake, was it? When they received it, it wasn't, again, a pretend reception, but rather they received it with joy. Very commendable. But even more commendable, we go on to see there in verse 7, where after they received the word, after they received it with joy of the Holy Spirit, they became examples to others who believe. Think about that for a moment. Remember what we talked about just a couple moments ago there in the fact that the church of the Thessalonians became examples of Paul and his fellow workers? I want us to think about this. You see, before the Thessalonians became examples to others, who was first an example to them? Paul and his co-laborers, right? You see, first Paul and his fellow laborers in the Lord were examples to them. And then they became examples to others. That's exactly how it's supposed to work, isn't it? That's exactly how it's supposed to be, right? You see, older Christians, more mature Christians in the faith, they're the ones who should really be leading and setting the proper example to be followed, right? And that is exactly what Paul and his co-laborers did. They were the more mature Christians. They done received the word. They were done living it. And now they're out there sharing it and being an example to others. And they were such a great example to the church of the Thessalonians that they saw their example. And guess what? They followed their example. And then they became examples to others. You see, I think it's important that we all understand that people are sometimes in need of others who will show them how to follow Jesus beyond the need of just hearing about how to follow Him. You see, we need to be mindful of the need to let our actions speak louder than our words. Because, as Tony Allender talked about last third Sunday night, about the world's Bible. We are, as Christians, sometimes the world's Bible and the only Bible that some people will ever see. There are some who will never even, may even hear the Word of God proclaimed. There are some who may never even pick up the Word of God and read it. But you know what? They can see it in us who are faithful Christians by the way we live and present ourselves. They can see it through our actions. And it's important that we understand and that we know and that we realize the need to sometimes not just be telling people on how to follow Jesus, but more importantly, of the need to show them how to follow Jesus. We need to let our actions speak louder than our words. And it is because that the church of the Thessalonians was an exemplary church in the fact that they received the word of God in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, and they became examples to believers. But I also suggest to us this morning that the church of the Thessalonians was an exemplary church in that from them the word of the Lord was sounded forth and their faith toward God had gone out. Notice that with me in verse number 8. We learn there from you, Paul says. And by the way, I want to stop here for a moment and emphasize something. It's a good reminder that we learn here from verse number 8, a good reminder of the fact that when you hear the word church, think people. When you hear the word church, think people. Because notice as Paul was addressing the church of the Thessalonians here in verse 7 and 8, he said, you became examples. Verse 8, he says, from you the word of the Lord had sounded forth. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. Again, this was part of the good example that the church of the Thessalonians set. They sounded forth the word of the Lord and their faith. I want us to think about that. You see, that word sounded forth there, it means a loud ringing sound as a trumpet blast. That's what that means. Simply put, what Paul's emphasizing here is the fact that the good work that the Lord did among the church of the Thessalonians became known all over the region. The good things that the Lord was doing in the church of the Thessalonians became known. Word got out. It became known all over the region. Paul says, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Think about that. You see, simply put, we learn here where many others, they knew about the church in Thessalonica. Not only did they know about the church in Thessalonica, but they also talked about the church in Thessalonica, and they heard about it. They heard about the positive changes about them. You see, I want us to think about the fact that Paul pairs two things here in verse number 8. I want us to think about the two things that Paul pairs together here. You see, he pairs together the word of the Lord sounded forth and their faith toward God has gone out. That's important. And that's important because these two things are essential if a church is going to effectively spread the gospel. First of all, the gospel message is going to have to be heard and received. That happened. The word of the Lord was sounded out to them. Paul took and his co-laborers took that gospel message to them. They heard it. And then they received it. It had an impact on their lives. That's how the word of the Lord is sounded forth. When it's proclaimed and received, and an impact on someone's life is made. It happened here. And secondly, we see that their faith had gone out. You see, they needed the faith to live it and to go out and take it to others. And they had it, didn't they? You see, it's the same with the church in the first century, or that was in the first century as it is in the 21st century. If the church in the 21st century is going to be effective in spreading the gospel message is going to have to be preached. It's going to have to be received. And then people's going to have the faith to live it and to go out and take it to others. That's important. And these Thessalonians, they were certainly an exemplary church in the fact that from them, the Lord of the Lord was sounded forth and their faith toward God gone out. But I also suggest to us this morning that the church of the Thessalonians was an exemplary church in that they were truly converted to the living and true God. I appreciate both David's introductory comments this morning and also his prayer. If you noticed, he mentioned twice the fact that about the living and true God. You see, there is only one living and true God. There's only one. And we see here that when the Thessalonians, when they received the word of God, when they heard about the one true living God, they responded. How did they respond? They responded by leaving their idols behind, by giving them up to serve the living and true God. Notice that with me there in verse number 9. Paul goes on to write, "For they themselves declared concerning us what manner of entry we had to you and how you turned to God." Now watch it. "Turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." You see that? You see, the church of the Thessalonians was an exemplary church in the fact that their reception of the word of God was sincere. And their faith in God was shown as true because they did something with it. They received the word. They learned about the one true living and true God. And then what did they do? They repented. They repented. They turned from evil and turned to serve the one true and living God. You see, that's exactly what repentance is. Repentance is a turning away from. And we see that clearly there in verse 9. When Paul speaks about how they turned to God from idols. You see, that is a true definition of repentance. Turning from sin. Turning away from sin and turning to God. That's exactly what the church of the Thessalonians did. They turned from evil, from worshiping these false gods, these idols. They turned away from that. And then they turned to the one true living God to serve Him. But I also suggest to us this morning that the church of the Thessalonians was an exemplary church in that they expected and waited for the return of Jesus Christ, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Notice that with me there in verse 10. As Paul speaks about it, concluding there in verse 9, as he speaks about the fact that they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, he didn't stop there, did he? But he also says in verse 10, "And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." What a high mark of reverence and hope when the Christian expects his Lord and Savior to come again. And he lives like one that expects Him at any moment. That's exactly what the church, the people in the church of Thessalonica did. Not only did they expect the Lord to come, they waited on Him, but they lived their life in a way in which they would be prepared for Him, right? You see, some of us may think, well, why is that important? Why would Paul add that there in verse 10? The need to wait for His Son, that is the Son of God, that is Jesus Christ from heaven. Why would that be important? Why would it be important that Paul would emphasize the need for them to wait for the return of the Lord? I'll tell you why I think that's important. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this. If you and I knew that the Lord Jesus would return before this worship service was over, in what state would you find yourself? What state would you find yourself? Would you find yourself in a prepared state? And if you didn't find yourself in a prepared state, would you be doing something about it, knowing that you only had a few minutes before the Lord returned? I venture to say that if you and I knew that the Lord was going to return before this worship service was over, that we would be getting our things in order. Those of us that has failed to obey the gospel, I venture to say you'd probably respond. Those of us who have sin in our life and have failed to repent of it, you'd probably be doing whatever you can to make those necessary changes. Those of us that are in need of someone's forgiveness, I venture to say you'd be going out and asking them to forgive you. I venture to say that if we knew that the Lord was going to return before this worship, at the end of this worship service, that we would be getting our act together, wouldn't we? And that's why it's very important, brethren, that each and every one of us as children of God always live in a manner and always be prepared for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, at any time. Because the fact of the matter is, although He has not yet come, He is coming again. And we don't know when. And it's because of that we need to be prepared at all times. It's because of that we always need to be ready for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Because without that, without being properly prepared, guess what's going to happen? We're going to experience the wrath to come. But you know what? When we're properly prepared and we're ready at all times for the Lord's return, you know what's going to happen? We are going to be delivered from the wrath to come. And for that, because, as we see in verse 10, because the church of the Thessalonians waited for the Son of God to return, they properly prepared themselves for His return. And Paul says in that latter part of verse 10 that it will be in Jesus in which we will be delivered from the wrath to come. My beloved brethren, just as the church of the Thessalonians was an exemplary church, I sincerely plead with and encourage each and every member of the church here at Belleville to always strive to do our part in making the church here at Belleville an exemplary church. Maybe there's one here this morning who has not yet submitted their lives in obedience to the Lord. You're encouraged to do that this very hour. For as we have discussed this morning, there is a great day coming when our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ will someday return, and we will all someday stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we need to be prepared for that great day, brethren. We need to be prepared, those of you who have not yet submitted your life in obedience to the Lord and His will, because that day, it could happen at any time. It could happen before this day is even over. And if you're not prepared, as we talked about a while ago, you won't be exempt from the wrath of our holy God, our just God, to come. But you do have an opportunity as of right now to become prepared. For if you believe in all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can do as those Thessalonians. You can make a change in your life. You can turn from sin and turn to the living and true God. And you can confess Jesus Christ. And you can be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. And may we always remember of the need to continue to be steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. May we always remember the need to continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this morning who's already submitted their life in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you have sin in your life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins. Confess them to God and ask Him for His forgiveness. And if you'd like to enlist of the prayers of the saints on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this morning, you'll be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation. Whatever your need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song Alvin has selected.